Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair in Jerusalem, Ir HaKodesh, capital of the Jewish people. I am so angry this morning. We have this little intro. I work hard on this show. I try to find you stories that make me smile, make me shout, pique my interest, tickle my funny bone, but also tickle my curiosity. And again, once again, Hamas. Our cousins to the south have hijacked this show, hijacked our lives, hijacked our morality, hijacked our sense of well-being, and they are bombarding our homes, our schools. And believe you me, whether you live far up north, whether you live anywhere else in the country, and believe me, if you live in California, in Canada, if you are a Jew, this is about you. All right. So we're going to talk about what it is like, the reality of being a Jew living in Israel, being a Jew hiding one's head in the sand overseas, perhaps. And we are going to, of course, connect it to Parsha, the Torah portion of the week. A few exercises in vulgarity that absolutely piqued my interest this week that made me ill. I want to know if it makes you ill, too. And replacing God with man, the purview of the liberal, Jewish, supposedly spiritual left. So I want to talk to you, please, people. The chat room is open. Jot. I want to know what you're thinking. It's an orange button. It's big. It's not quite as large as my thigh, but close enough. You can't miss it. Not even you, Donald Trump, listening in. Not even you, my good friend Nathan, my good friend Elisheva. Chat, I want to know what you're thinking. And a couple of cute articles we came across. I hope we can get in some fun today, because before the fun, we're going to talk about the reality and what it is like to parent in Israel and asking ourselves, does this have anything to do with me? As you know, I think it certainly does. I'll see you on the other side.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back. Hello, this is Andrea Simintov speaking to you from Jerusalem, Israel, Israel News Talk Radio. The name of this show is Pull Up a Chair, and it is great that we are sitting together. We're going to talk in a few moments about what is going on in Israel today, because you're not listening to the station if you don't care. But I do want to start on one just lighter note, because I don't want the week to pass and afterwards I'll kick myself in the shin and say, gee, I wanted to talk about this. Those of you who have been listening to the show and you hear me speaking very fast today, we have a lot of ground to cover. Know that I, in addition to having this marvelous outlet and this marvelous show and sharing this morning time with you once a week, I also write articles for magazines. But the more mundane part, to actually bring cash into this house, I have been blessed to have a business where I do hair and makeup for people celebrating smachot, simchas, joyous occasions, celebrating weddings, bar and bat mitzvahs, graduations, and anniversaries. Okay, yesterday I had a first. I enjoyed a personal first, and that was having the great merit to do the hair and makeup for a 78-year-old bride marrying her 80-year-old Hassan husband. And you know, thank God, Baruch Hashem, I have been doing this for over 20 years. And it is something so delightful to see a 78-year-old widow marrying an 80-year-old widower, and they know what they're doing, why, taking a chance on life. They're only starting out, 78 and 80, and they're starting out. And one little piece I want to leave you with before we go on to more pressing issues, but I think nothing is more pressing. The day before she came to me, 2 days ago, she and her husband-to-be both went to the cemeteries, the respective cemeteries, to visit the graves of their spouses, not to ask permission. These two people had lived a wonderful life, very healthy children, everybody very excited, even though there are bittersweet feelings. But they went to actually thank their mates, thank them for the wonderful years and health and blessedness and richness of their lives that were so incredible, in fact, that they would want to pick up where they left off and continue in the merit of God's love and to continue married life based on the lessons they learned by being partners with their first. I just thought that this was so incredible. This really gave me a charge. And as to juxtapose it, I'm watching the clock because we are going to get to other things today. Juxtaposing, la havdil, to a filthy article I came across, a filthy story about filthy people. And sadly, the fact is that these people, of course, were Jewish. A family named Gross, forgive me, we won't even go there. Such wealth, such money, such public displays of animosity. People who brought children into the world. People who have so much money that they don't even know what to do with it. And the vulgarity and all the filth and the secrecy and the privacy of their lives. Their money allows them to splash it all over the pages. And it made me shudder, made me want to take a shower. And then I thought, but I had the great merit to embrace this adorable couple this week who really could give lessons to all of us. All right, let's move on here. We've gotten to marriage, we've gotten to romance, we've gotten to brides. All right. If you are living outside of Israel, my friends, you may not really know what's going on. I know. I scour the New York papers. I scour the Washington Post. I scour the Boston Globe. We may merit a paragraph, a very objective paragraph, I may add, on page 3. We are under siege. The rockets, the barrage, they are coming in. I've heard reports of 70 overnight, 50 overnight, 130 overnight. This is not just the stuff that movies. Bruce Willis is not in this film. Mommies, daddies, grandparents. I saw a video this morning. Of a mother running through the playground yesterday afternoon, 7:30 at night, sun still shining in the beautiful city of Sderot, screaming, "Noam, Noam, where is Noam? Where is my baby?" My friends, this is me, and this is you. Because if you cannot envision what it is to run through a playground looking for your baby, you are not understanding. It is so critical that you know that at least when you start your day, or my friends in Australia, as you end your day, that you understand what is happening in Israel. Because if you're listening to this show, you must be a representative. For years, we've been under attack, the South, and to make believe that we are not in a war, it doesn't change the reality. It only prolongs the danger of the people living there. Talk about it. 50 rockets, 70 rockets. Take a minute. Get your head out of the television screen and imagine what it would be like sitting in your garden and have a rocket explode. Feet, just feet from your car, feet from your child's seesaw. Feet from your synagogue. You know what they do? I was speaking to our producer this morning. We were comparing notes, not in total agreement. Hamas, This is all about Hamas, friends. Sorry, touched my computer. It's all about Hamas. And you know what happens? As soon as they run out of weapons, as soon as they are in trouble not restocking, they declare a ceasefire. And all the Jews in the world who want to go on and discuss more about what the summer fashions are. Did you take your daughter shopping for school shoes yet? We really didn't have a vacation this year. Understand, they're going to be back. And they're going to be back on us. If Israel, not if Israel falls, Israel will not fall. But we are shaking. We do not have that luxury. I just want to go on. I got a note today. This was great. Again, what does the European Union say? What does the UN envoy say? He calls on all sides to step back from the brink and restore calm. There is no parity. Stop it. It's not equal. It's not fair. There's only one side that needs to step back from the brink. We are sitting ducks here. It's not just terrorists. It's us too. It's us changing diapers in a playground. It's this kind of idiocy, this appeasing our enemies that make you listening to this show. And more important, you're getting it. It makes your neighbors, your naive neighbors, sit and say to you, well, you know, Israel's not innocent. I'm going to say something right now. For all of our mistakes, for all of our flaws, for all of the porousness that creates the human Israeli, we are not at fault. Indeed, we are innocent. Sitting ducks and innocent, and stop mucking up the language. Stop parving the edges. In the past 5 hours, while I was sleeping, saying, how much sleep can I get before I get up for the show, before I prepare? Families weren't sleeping. They didn't have the luxury that I did. They didn't have the luxury that you did. Idiocy, appeasement, tree hugging. It is hysteria. It is absolute, outright hysteria. All right. Let me see. Just as an example, somebody sent me. Let me just see how I'm doing time-wise. Okay, I'm good. All right. Oh, wait a second. We've only 3 minutes. All right. I have somebody on the phone. Somebody who's in my next segment. During the next segment, we're going to take a break in 3 minutes. I want you to call in. You have questions. We have a gal on the phone who is living in Sderot, and she is going to talk to us. So let me just finish up just a few notes, just some idea what's happening. Sirens nonstop. By the way, it's not just empty farmland. It's not just vast tracts of land. It's shopping centers, it's restaurants, it's cafes, it's synagogues. Yes, it's even churches. It's a town that looks just like yours. Boom, boom, woo, woo, woo. All night, I have to tell you, I had to shut the alerts on my, I couldn't bear it. All the South, let me just see. At 3:52 this morning, I think I had heard this, forgive me. A rocket hit a house. How do you parent? All right, friends, I'm looking. I want to see. Just tell me now on the chat page. Hit the chat room. Tell me that you're going to call in for the next segment. And we're going to talk. We'll see however long it'll take. I do want to get to a story that I came across. I want to hope I get to it today, about children in Belgium being euthanized. Children with special needs, children with disabilities being euthanized and being given the autonomy to decide themselves that they can end their lives. You are listening to Andrea at Israel News Talk Radio. And I got to tell you, we are all about life. We are all about living. Scary, scary stuff. Let's see. All right. So I'm expecting you to call in next segment, and we're going to talk to our gal here, somebody on the ground, somebody like you, like me. It will be an honor. It will be important. And when the show is over, you will know that you have more and more friends in Israel who can tell you the true story. All right. We're going to talk to a mom. a mom, a sister, an Israeli. We're going to talk to us. I'm going to see you on the other side.
This is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
Okay, we are back. This is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair. We're putting aside all of the pleasantries today, and we have on the line, I am very honored, very excited, very sad to be speaking this morning with Devorah Goodman, who I do not know. Devorah lives in Sedot, Magalim. Devorah, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Devorah Horev. Goodman was my maiden name. Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're that okay? Goodman is your maiden name.
It's okay. Don't worry. It's only been 27 years.
Only 27 years, and apparently for the last 27 hours, you have been awake. I preface the show in saying, Devorah, you are one of us. Just before we get into the nitty gritty of what your reality is right now, tell me, where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Canada. I grew up in Hamilton. And when I was 18, I said goodbye and made Aliyah. And I've been here ever since.
So we have established you're one of us. You're one of us. You're here. You chose to live in this community. So listen, Devorah, tell us right now. You have seven children. What are the ages of your kids? What's the span? Just give me the span.
My youngest is seven. He was born during a siren exactly 7 years ago in Soroka. Mm-hmm. Literally, the first sound he ever heard was a siren. And my oldest is going to be 21.
Okay, so you have, you really have the span, beautiful, you are Tzionit, you are a complete Zionist, you believe in our God-given right to be living in this land. Devorah, what has it been like there for the last 24 hours?
It's been very difficult. It's been very difficult. On one hand, we want the army to go in. On one hand, we want the army to destroy the Hamas, to take over, and really to solve our problem. But it's not easy having children. It's not easy having sirens nonstop. Where I live in the Gaza Belt, we hear all the booming from Gaza. The house jumps. The kids are very scared. They're afraid to go to the bathroom. They're afraid to this and that. They're all sleeping downstairs in the bomb shelter. Even though my kids are used to sirens, which is a very sad thing to say. It's a very sad thing to say. But even though my kids are used to sirens, no one is used to being woken up in the middle of the night to the sound of a siren. It's absolutely terrifying. It's terrifying for a grown-up and even more terrifying for a child. My 7-year-old waking up in the middle of the night to a siren. I mean, he's so terrified. I can't tell you how many times. I mean, I'm sorry for saying this, but he's wet his pants because he's so,
yes.
So scared.
You know, I need to ask you something. I need to ask you something as a mother. I also am a mother, Bliya Yenhara. I'm a mother of 6 children. How do you parent? Isn't it a parent's job? Didn't we grow up thinking that we're going to assure our children minimally a feeling of safety? What is this doing to the relationship between you and your children, you and your husband, their children, your children with you two?
Look, we do what we can. We try and protect each other. My husband is a handicap and he really can't get to the bomb shelter on time. We have in our house a bomb shelter. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, it's very emotional knowing that my husband can't get to the bomb shelter on time. We have only 15 seconds. Now, I don't know what you can do in 15 seconds. I mean, blowing your nose normally takes 15 seconds. So when you're thinking about 15 seconds, trying to get kids into the bomb shelter, into this Sometimes I have kids outside playing, and the first one is, oh, my God, where are they? Are they going to be able to find somewhere safe? Are they going to find cover? Even if they don't get home, in, if it's a synagogue, if it's by a neighbor, if it's by this and that, are they going to find cover? Honestly, it's a little hysterical. Trying to make sure everyone is safe, but on the other hand, it makes a very close connection. You sleep together, you sleep cuddled, you do everything you can to protect your children. Your children, when they're scared, they turn to you. All they really want is a hug and kiss to know that mommy and dad are there to protect them. But it's,
you know,
not, it's very difficult. It's not.
Devorah, I'm hearing the quivering in your voice. I want to take a moment. I want to take a moment, and I want our audience to hear exactly. It's one thing to say the siren. I want them to hear what it is that you are listening to all night long in your home with seven children, a husband who is incapacitated with a disability, and some of the kids aren't at home. Engineer, please play the siren.
Andrea, I have to explain to you something. During that, you heard the recording that I took during the night. Did you
yes.
notice that during the recording there were several beeps in the background?
I
tell you what those beeps are? During the recording of the siren, there are beeps in the background. The beeps are...
It was a mistake on my computer.
No,
it's not a mistake
no,
on my computer?
No, it's not a mistake. Let me explain to you what those beeps are. Those beeps are during the siren, other incoming sirens from my telephone, from my telephone reporting me that in other areas during the siren in my house, there are other sirens happening in different areas. Simultaneously, different sirens during my siren. During the night, almost every 30, 40 seconds, I'm not kidding, I don't even think we got to a minute without there being sirens. And you heard it live. During the siren I was filming, there were another two sirens simultaneously. You heard the beeps. They weren't a mistake. They were sirens simultaneously to the siren that I had in my house. In Otef Aza, an area, we are in Otef Aza alone, there's close to 70,000 residents. 70,000 residents. Outside of Otef Aza, you have Netivot. You have all the other areas. You have over 100,000 people that do not sleep last night. I need people to understand what that means. You have elderly who can't get to a bomb shelter. You have children. You have all kinds of different populations. 100,000 people over did not sleep last night.
I hear it.
Do you understand what that means? And to have that siren going again and again and again and again all night long?
I have to ask you this. I must ask you this. I think we will. I mean, I'm watching the clock here. I think we really must play the sound of the siren again. But hold off a second here. It's going on. You mentioned something. We're going to go to sticky ground now. You want the Army to finish the job. And yet you mentioned you have children. What is the Army? What would be the downside, in your opinion? I understand you haven't been called to the cabinet meeting yet today, but in your opinion, what would be the downside of us going in today? And we're capable, we've got the goods. What would be the downside of finishing the job, in your opinion, Devorah Cholev?
I don't want the Army to go in. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. I want carpet bombing from the top.
Carpet
Gaza's
bombing.
Fully booby-trapped. I don't want any soldier stepping into Gaza. I want carpet bombing from the top. And I am prepared, and not only me. I am prepared. The residents of the Gaza Belt are prepared. We are prepared to sit in bomb shelters. Give us two weeks, 3 weeks. I don't know how long. We are prepared to sit in bomb shelters and let the Army and the government solve this problem. Gaza is not a Band-Aid. Okay, I can't put a Band-Aid on the Hamas. I need an amputation. Only an amputation will solve this problem.
Wait, I need to repeat that. Gaza is not a Band-Aid. We don't need a Band-Aid. We need amputation. You need amputation to save the body, to save the festering body.
I need amputation to save the country. You have to understand today, right now, they are sending rockets in the area of the Negev, in the south. don't mm-hmm. think that Tel Aviv is not being targeted. Don't
Absolutely.
Think. And
wait,
I want my government to understand that the same policy of the South has the same policy of Tel Aviv. I want to be protected.
You want to reclaim your life. You are alive. Listen, Devorah, I need to play. Okay, I want all the listeners to listen again.
Listen for the beeps.
And listen to the overriding sirens, one over the other. These people are not getting any mercy. And
100,000 residents did not sleep last night. Remember that. 100,000 residents did not sleep.
Okay, let's all listen. Let us all listen and let's hear exactly why 100,000 residents did not sleep last night. Go ahead, engineer.
Now you heard the beeps?
Yes, I heard the beeps.
Those were sirens. Simultaneous sirens. Simultaneous sirens. That is why we did not sleep. That is why we need amputation from the Hamas. You can't talk with someone who wants to swallow you, who wants to eat you, who wants to chew you up and throw you into the ocean. You can't talk with them. You have to cut them. You have to amputate from them.
Would you say, Devorah Goodman-Chorev, would you say that this sentiment pretty much sums it up among all of your neighbors?
I don't speak for all of my neighbors. You always mm-hmm. have the ones that have different opinions. I always say it speaks for the majority of the South. The majority of the South says, finish this job. And the majority of the South says, carpet bomb. Do not send our soldiers into Gaza. Soldiers are our children, our
That's
grandchildren,
right.
our husbands, our brothers, our sisters mm-hmm. also, by the way. We don't want our children, our husbands in Gaza. Carpet bomb them from the top. I don't want dead soldiers.
Okay, so
I
listen.
I don't want dead soldiers. Carpet bomb.
Devorah, look, when you're talking to me, you're speaking to the choir. I think that we haven't had our coffee together yet. Nevertheless, I want to know, are you willing to come back and be my – the guest sounds so lofty. Are you willing to come back another time? Can I – assuming that you get a little bit of sleep, a little bit of rest, can I call upon you again? You're very articulate. You feel like us. May I call you again?
I can only say that, please God, may there not be a reason for it, but yes.
Okay. Devorah, we're going to go back. We're going to go off the line now. Thank you for speaking with me, Devorah
Goodman-Kolev. It was my pleasure. I hope that people really understood what I said.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov, Israel News Talk Radio, on Pull Up a Chair. Powerful last segment. I have calling long distance at great expense, probably, my good friend Nathan Mond. Nathan, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Andrea.
You're calling from Australia, correct?
Correct, but it's not cost me anything. I've got unlimited, so it's all right.
Okay. So share with us your thoughts, Nathan.
My thoughts are what Devorah has been going through, and the population in Sdrot, that's where all the action has been happening. I agree with her 100% that the government needs now to take the hard decisions. The hard decisions. It's like a broken record. It's just will continue and continue and continue, and innocent lives will be lost. And I agree with her. They need to do the job. I don't want to say that word, carpet bomb, yeah.
Well, it's been said, it's very interesting because you live overseas, you do live in the Galut, Nathan, and you get it. You follow the news, you do the hard work following the news.
I do get it, and I see on the internet, I watch direct on an app, the Israeli news, though it's in Hebrew. But I see everything what's happening inside Israel and what's happening in the south and wherever Israel is affected. This must stop now. It cannot continue.
Okay, Nathan, I'm very grateful that you took the time to call, and you really are very passionate, very articulate, and I'm going to wish you a wonderful day, and I encourage everybody to pick up the Nathan baton, and Nathan really shares his thoughts, he drops us notes, and he stays aware and stays alert, and sometimes he reads things that are even uncomfortable, but being informed is being empowered. Nathan, have a wonderful day, and pray for the peace of Israel.
And thank you. Thank you so much, Andrea. You do an amazing job.
A pleasure, my friend. Shabbat shalom. Okay, wow. All right. It's a little shaky voice today. You know, I don't like you. When we started the show several months ago, a long time ago, I used to get angry, and I don't do that anger anymore. I try not to.
Just breaking in, we have another red alert siren right now in Neer Oz, which is surrounding on the outskirts of Gaza. A red alert siren right now in Neer Oz in Israel.
I don't have to say wow. I don't have to say wow, because wow is filling our souls and filling our bellies. I have repeated time and again, and I am way off script now, friends. I'm not looking at papers. I'm looking out of my window over the beautiful view toward the old city of Jerusalem. And I'm off script, and I am telling you, there is no such thing as a body that looks pretty good. It just has a little bit of cancer.
Another red alert siren in the region of Neer Oz on the border of Gaza.
We have a sickness here. We have an illness. There is no such thing as a little cancer. If a body has a sickness, it has to be eradicated. There is no such thing as a little rip in an otherwise perfect tapestry. If it is ripped, the entire tapestry is in trouble. Our sisters and brothers in the south of this teeny tiny country, 3.5 hours north to south, 3.5 hours. You can't do all of Jersey in 3.5 hours. It is us. If we do not repair the rip, if we do not pour the necessary poison in to clean the system, clear the sickness, we are living with a cancer. We are living with a tear. We are living with a tumeh, a filth to our system that must be eradicated. We cannot do holy work while you're sitting in a sewer. And they will assay day in and day out to turn our beloved country into a sewer. We must not have it. I have some Torah thoughts to share with you, but I'm scared that I'm going to run out of time. So before I run out of time, as we enter this beautiful Shabbat, Shabbat Re'eh, and remember, it's a Shabbos in the summer when we may not have our hearts and our heads and our minds and our bellies into lofty places. We're thinking still sunscreen, SPF. We're thinking bikinis. We're thinking, can I get into that dress? We're thinking maybe I should skip the ice cream and eat the fruit. No. We're coming up to holy days. We're coming up to a holy time. We are given this blank page of summer to prepare. And the first preparation we must do is to pray for one another, because we are all part of that same body, that body that needs to soar, that body that needs to thrive, that body that needs to exercise its muscles, not a body that needs to be sick with a cancer of rage. We need to pray for ourselves, and in praying for ourselves, we are praying for one another. I remember before I was deeply observant, people used to say, well, the only thing you could do is pray. And I used to think, what a cop-out. Cop-out nothing. Prayer is hard work. You know, you could just spit it off. I have a Siddur, a Jewish prayer book, and I have my pages. They're all dog-eared. My pages, the ones that I get to. And when I'm in a rush, I spew out the words. Technically, I did the job. But I didn't make the world a better place, not in my belly, not in my heart, and not for you. Prayer is a gift. It's, we are created in his image, and he's saying, let's talk. Use it. They are counting on you in the South. They are counting on me. I am counting on you. You are counting on me. You are listening to this show. You don't have to, but you are. Let us together. Let us together soar. Now, I have to tell you, this week's Parsha is Parsha Sra'eh. And it's, you know, I said it's a wonderful, wonderful, it's just like perfectly fitting with this kind of crappy week, this kind of crappy news. Am I allowed to say crappy on the air? I don't want to see what the engineer has to say. But this week we talk about 38 negative mitzvot. It's a misunderstanding to think that a mitzvah is a good deed. A mitzvah is a can't, that's like non-Jewish talk. It's not a good deed. It's an obligation. It is a commandment. A commandment. And I talk about a lot on this show. I talk about idolatry. And we were having a lot of talk, my husband and myself, over Shabbos. We were saying, what is idolatry? You know, I'm not an idol worshiper. I don't have any Buddhas in my living room. I don't bring a little plate of food to, you know, some kind of Hindu god. God forbid you should call me an idol worshiper. But you know what? Every day I'm whispering. I read my horoscope. And what happens is all the, you know, all the computer, what do they call them? algorithms, whatever. They send me more horoscope stuff. And I say, I shouldn't be looking at this, but I do. And then I read articles about nasty people getting divorced. And I find out that Brad Pitt claims that he gave Angelina Jolie a lot of money for the children. He's not a deadbeat. This, my friends, is idol worship. It's no less idol worship than bringing food to a Hindu deity. If we're switching from veganism to keto and expecting all the answers and not putting it in a holy place and saying, what will make me healthier that I can serve God better? It is idol worship. You know, we're not supposed to. There was a time, I'm sorry, my head's a tad away from the mic. I'm trying not to make it all noisy with papers here. There was a time where we did indeed believe in false idols. But, you know, we've been given the gift in these months before the Yomim Noarim, the High Holy Days, the Days of Oz. We've been given the gifts of teshuva, return, tefillah, prayer, tzedakah, giving. And one of the benefits of living this life is that these mitzvot, these commandments, they enable us to elevate every single action, whether we're eating, when we're dressing, when we're interacting with people, when we're talking to someone on the phone that we have never spoken with before. So we take all of these mundane acts, and I want to quickly, I mentioned vegetarianism, and I need to race here. You know, Rav Kook believed that the human consumption of animals was not the ideal. Yeah, listen, guys, we're the real hipsters. It's a concession to our weakness. I have to tell you, I eat very little meat, very, very rarely, but when I pass a great barbecue, my head goes crazy. So, you know, Rav Kook took the ideas that at the beginning of the creation, when the world was ideal, we were all intended to be vegetable eaters, probably vegans. But it was only after the flood that God conceded to our weakness. So I'm asking all of us, when the bombs are falling, when will man be required to stop eating meat? When we can recreate Gan Eden? And I promise you that when you pray and when you pray deeply and you fear that aura of holiness because you feel that connectedness, that's a little bit of a remez, it's a little bit of the avak. That is the dust of Gan Eden on all of us. Let's pray together, and let's pray for an end to the onslaught. Shabbat shalom u'mivovrach.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.